My name is Ricky Ott, and I am what I call now a community activist. I'm a survivor of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. I do have a master's and a doctorate in oil pollution. And after experiencing Exxon Valdez firsthand, both as an injured party, I was commercial fishing at the time, and as a resident of Cordova, Alaska, I've been there 26 years now. I experienced Exxon Valdez in a very personal way, and we made a lot of mistakes. And when the Gulf disaster happened, I at first didn't want to go down because I revisited all the trauma that had happened with Exxon Valdez. But after a week or so, I realized we made a lot of mistakes, our community, and maybe people in the Gulf, we could skip those mistakes if somebody went down and did like a little bit of coaching and sharing what happened to us. And I just remembered how the federal agencies had acted at the time of the Exxon Valdez on the knowledge base back then, which was oil isn't that bad for you. Oil does not cause long-term problems. Short term, it can be a little bit of a problem, but oh, the volatile organic compounds, they dissipate very quickly. Don't worry about it. And in the 20 years since Exxon Valdez, the science has evolved to show that oil is much more toxic than we thought. But the laws have not changed to accommodate that new science. So we're stuck in the 40-year-ago science with OSHA, EPA, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act. And that's just not adequate right now. And that's the paradigm that the federal government is operating in. And I want to jump that and get studies done in the new paradigm that say oil is more toxic than we thought. We know that. That's one of our assumptions going in. So how can we design a study that's going to look for very subtle effects of oil over long term? That's how the study should be framed. So I'm afraid of industry capture of our federal agencies. This is a lesson from Exxon Valdez, is that it's really up to the people. It all boils down to the people. People take care of each other, not the state, not the federal government, not the oil company. It will boil back down to the people.
But the, state agencies set up surveillance programs to try to detect illnesses, you know, that were being reported to doctors, to emergency rooms, poison control centers, et cetera. Why not share your data with them? And, I mean, that's what health agencies are there for. Why should you expect ordinary citizens to take on this rather big challenge of trying to monitor health, carry out epidemiological studies? It just seems a rather big burden to place on citizens rather than simply using the tools that you have there. You have health agencies. That's what they're for.
I was on a panel in Mississippi with the head of the Mississippi epidemiology, and he said, you know, we've set up a study. We have five emergency rooms in the Gulf and four control emergency rooms outside of the Gulf, and we can detect no difference in the emergency rooms treatment for respiratory problems, central nervous system, and these skin rashes. So we don't see a problem. And I'll tell you what the problem is. People... their money is down. They've, as they told me, they've survived four major hurricanes in 5 years and FEMA. They have no money left in their savings account. The oil disaster hits. They had to let go of luxuries. One of the luxuries they had, a lot of them had to let go, was healthcare. So what are they seeing? They're seeing skin rashes, respiratory problems, a headache, a cold or flu-like symptom. They don't know that all these symptoms that are seemingly normal can mimic chemical poisoning, chemical illnesses. So they've normalized the abnormal, which is what we did in Alaska. We all fell for that too. The Valdez crud, just a little cold or flu. Don't worry. And what they're doing is they're not going to the emergency room because they don't have the money to do that. They are going to the Winn-Dixie's, the Walgreens pharmacies, and I've talked to these pharmacies. The over-the-counter medication for respiratory problems, for cold and flu-like symptoms, for vertigo, for skin rashes, has shot up. And the pharmacies don't have any idea what happened in the summer of 2010. Why did this happen? And what I'm seeing now is that people connected the dots too fast. The oil came ashore. The dispersants came ashore. People got sick. And they connected the dots that I'm sick because of what happened in the Gulf. What can I do? And so they're ready to act. Let's encourage them. That's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. That connecting of the dots, you have to prove the connections between the dots. I mean, just because you're sick when the oil comes ashore doesn't necessarily mean that you're sick because of the oil.
Yes, and neither do the blood tests alone prove that you're sick. These are all, as you mentioned, pieces of the puzzle. And what I'm doing now is I have a Gulf Health Survey that is gulfhealthsurvey.net that is being circulated by people in communities. And I'm talking canvassing door to door or calling meetings in churches and helping people fill out these forms. This is a pilot study then that would start connecting these dots and show that this is not a random occurrence here of, you know, people getting sick. This is too much. And then that epidemic, that pilot study then would be the predecessor to a full-blown epidemiology study. I think their alarm bells have gone off. We have high levels of oil and chemicals in water, air, and blood. You know, the alarm has been rung. Now we need to capture this information and frame it and figure out how to treat people immediately for those who need it and what to do to minimize long-term harm, because there surely will be long-term harm from this. I'm already getting emails from women who were in their first trimester, and I got emails from them back early on. The babies have now been born, and there are health problems. And this is what the medical community has anticipated based on the knowledge of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and harm created in the first trimester. So there's going to be a whole, you know, cohort of infants, unfortunately, spill babies that are potentially going to need some long-term healthcare problems as well, and short-term. Babies are already being born with heart problems, growth problems.
You know, I'm sure you encounter criticism that you're being alarmist when you make these claims. How do you respond to that? And what's your trump card evidence that you can use to counter that?
Okay, so let's talk different levels here, because with the people who are sick, I'm not being an alarmist at all. People get it, and they want to know what they can do, and everything is playing out exactly like it did with Exxon Valdez, where they get that unless they step up, they are going to be the cost of BP doing business in the Gulf. They are going to be an externality. They will be written off, much like we were in Alaska. So they get it. Now, the alarmist stuff I am getting from the community officials that want their beaches open, that say, oh, surely now the beaches are okay, and from the scientists who have not lived through a paradigm shift like I have, and they are clinging to the old school that oil is not that toxic. The federal government will warn us if there's a problem. And I ask, really? Look at 9/11. Did the federal government warn? You know, 10 years from now, they're going to say, whoops, I guess there was a problem. I'm trying to help people now. You know, damn the critics, full speed ahead.